Today, I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 2. Because a lot of times we think that we're doing God's will. A lot of times we think and we possess the ideas of the world, but we don't perceive them as worldly. We perceive them as godly because we want them to match our emotions.
Oh, come on.
Our emotions are not always of God. Our emotions get us into deep doo-doo, and I'll tell you, it's no fun to get it off. Some of it seems to be glued on for some odd reason.
Crazy glue.
Huh?
With crazy glue.
With crazy glue, yes. Verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the rulers of the kingdoms of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who live among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. And I stress the word thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace. It is by grace. It is by grace. It's only written once, but I'm repeating it. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. It's not something that's going to happen. It's something that has happened. By faith we get there, and by believing it will take place. If your unbelief is overruling what the truth is, you know and I know we're in trouble. Correct? And when the soul takes over, which my brother made a very clear example that, when the soul takes over, your peace flies out the window. The joy of the Lord is your strength. But when you're into your mind and your will and your emotions, that peace and that joy is gone instantly. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of artificial ways to get it back. Did you hear me?
Yes.
A lot of artificial ways to get it back.
Yep.
One of them is your refrigerator.
Yep.
I'm serious.
Yes, it is.
Okay? And you'd be surprised how quickly a bottle of this or a bottle of that or a pill here or a pill there, and I'm not against any of those things because they're all good. But under the right anointing. When I see people shattered by emotions and they go off and they go and get high, I mean, what are they doing? They're trying to get rid of the problem. And it's becoming a way of life for the majority of the world today.
Amen.
And I'm not against anybody using a product. Don't get me wrong. I am not stupid enough to think that some people don't get upset about people hurting themselves. And I shared this with somebody this past week because of a situation that happened to be brought to my attention. And when I first got born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, my dad was really in a bad, bad place. His body was in a bad place. His emotions were no longer functioning correctly. And he had a solution in the trunk of the car. It happened to be a case of booze. Mm-hmm. And it made me extremely angry. So obviously, whenever he would get tired or whenever he would get emotional, the trunk lid would open and the bottle would open up and he'd find a convenient place to just repair the problem and continue to go and to go forward. Well, I was very angry with my dad, and the Lord had told me it was about time that I forgive him, but I wasn't ready. How many know sometimes you can't be ready because you just don't understand? So I kept saying, okay, God, I'm going to just, you know, pray for Dad. He had gotten born again, but the booze was still a part of it. Well, this one day, the Lord said, the same negative spirit that's operating in your dad is operating in you.
Oh.
I didn't like it. He said, when are you going to praise me for the way he is and mean it? He said, you're saying it by lip service. How many have ever prayed by lip service? Just to satisfy what he's already told you to do and get it behind you. It's not coming from your heart. Okay? It's coming to get the peace. And God will work out that, because sometimes you're just a baby and you act like a baby and you react like a baby. But now it's time to grow up. And he said to me, are you really going to mean it? And are you really going to give me thanks for the way he is? So I did for several days. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for my dad, just the way he is. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, 17, and 18. For this is God's will for you, Kim. Oh, okay, Lord. So I kept on going. Well, this one day he said, are you going to thank me for the booze?
Yeah, you're pushing it.
Oh, yeah.
Nah, you're pushing it.
Am I going to thank you for the booze, Lord? He's killing himself. He says, you haven't got it right.
Jesus.
Will you thank me for the booze that's in the trunk and the other bottles that are hidden everywhere in his home? And I said, okay, it's a deal. But again, it was lip service for several days.
Yep.
Okay? And I was going through the works of it. And this one day, I'm actually on my way to work. I'm on Palmer Road, heading for the underpass. There's only one car that goes by underneath at the same time. And I'm just about to go underneath, okay? Going very slow. And I meant it from my heart. Lord, I thank you for my dad. I really thank you for the booze. He said, do you know why that I've used the booze? And I said, no. He says, I've kept him alive so that he could come to me in a deeper way and he would have a hunger for the Word of God. And if it wasn't for the booze, he'd be dead a long time ago. And your pride has kept you from interceding for him. Amen. I never made it underneath the pass. I parked on the side of that underpass and bawled my eyes out and repented from my heart, because my attitude needed to change so that my altitude could be adjusted. My altitude was on the lower level. My attitude needed to grow into the place of grace. And that day he raised me up with Christ. He seated me with him in the heavenly realms. And I could see from his perspective why Dad was half drunk most of the time. You can fill in the blank on the drunk part. Because it could be pills. It could be any altering product. And just don't look at the problem. Look at the solution. I heard myself say that Tuesday, and it hasn't left me. We are so focused on the problem that we forget the solution. The solution is Christ Jesus, who is seated in heavenly places, and we need to join him once in a while. We need to go up the ladder. You say, well, I can't find the ladder. Make one up.
Amen.
I'm sorry. Make one up. One night, I said, my emotions are in the way. He said, climb the ladder. Well, I used to climb the ladder to paint because I worked for a painter. And you go up. I painted my house several times. I painted my father's house. Okay? Those of you who have gone by, it's 3 stories high. 40-foot ladder, you climb. Well, you climb by using your hands. So I'm praying in the spirit. My eyes are closed. And I can feel the anointing. And I can feel the anointing that I'm going higher. And he says, don't you ever underestimate it's not fake. Don't you ever underestimate it's not fake. I said, oh, okay, I'm sorry, Lord. I am so sorry. He said, your natural power is so powerful and your spirit power is lacking behind because you refuse to listen to my truth. You're so accustomed to your carnal way and your carnal understanding and your way of doing things. And the natural realm is so real and the other is so little. But when Christ was in the earth, he had more awareness of the spirit realm than he had of the natural realm. And I know I'm preaching, but get a clue. You'll never mature if you stay like a baby and you say this is all there is. No, I became an eternal being when I said yes to Jesus. So it's not all about today, tomorrow, and next week. It's about eternity. Go back to verse 6. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages, is that eternal? In the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So the limitations of the power of the church is visible there for ages to come. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. So it's not from the natural realm or the understanding of the natural mind. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship. Woo-hoo! Just close your eyes for one moment. Say, I am God's workmanship.
I am God's workmanship.
Created in Christ Jesus.
Created in Christ Jesus.
To do good works.
To do good works.
Which God prepared in advance.
Which God prepared in advance.
Just for me.
Just for me.
Wow. Is that for 60, 70, and 80 years?
No.
It's for ages to come. Ages to come. So your trial is so big at the moment because you're focused on the trial or the hopelessness. My focus was on my father, watching him destroy my mom. And I was very angry. And he told me to get off my what? My pride and my critical vision. My critical vision had to be departing from me. It had to be eliminated, and it could not be done by me. I had to humble myself and say thank you for the booze. Did I feel like it? No. Was it overruling? Yes, by anger. Anger and pride work together. And they are super sneaky. They slither in between the grass blades, and you can't even see it. And you think it's not there, but you look at the fruit of your prayer and see how deep is your prayer. How deep is your meaning of your prayer? And when you get down to brass tacks, you say, I don't care how it feels. I'm going to thank you anyway. I don't care what the liar says to me. I'm going to thank you anyway. I don't care how the emotions are feeling today. I'm going to thank you anyway because you have a plan, and I'm going to purpose to say thank you, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it's not logical, even if your areas of deception are right in front of you. How are you going to turn this into good, Lord? I don't know. And you know what? You don't need to know yet. In time, you will learn. And when you look back, you're going to say, ha, 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 wow, look what you did. And you won't be able to take credit. Think only on the good that he's already completed in you. Look back at some of the miracles that he's given you. Mm-hmm. And look back about the impossible things that he carried you through. Mm-hmm. And when you see those victories, and I'll tell you, there were times I had to go back and I had to read them. Mm-hmm. Because I would write them down, but you know what? The enemy loves to erase the miracles you've had. Mm-hmm. And he tries to magnify the failures and those areas around you that are falling apart. Okay? So if you'll close your eyes right now, say, Lord Jesus,
your plan
is to show me your love
for me.
My sense-dominated eyes
are always working
through my soul.
And what I've believed,
what I've received,
doesn't always complete
what Christ has done for me.
He's wanting for me
to taste eternal life now.
To taste the victories now.
And to put the failures behind me.
I will become a victory.
Because he's my victor.
He sees the poor made rich.
He sees the naked clothed.
He sees the selfishness turned into love.
And when I am in love,
I don't see anything done wrong.
When I fell in love,
there was nothing wrong
with the lover that I was in.
He was perfect.
She was perfect.
Until a few years go by.
When few years go by,
the flaws are visible.
And the criticalness
and the fault finding
manifest.
I don't see the pride at the time.
But it's there.
So today,
I am planning
that his workmanship
is manifesting in me.
Created by Christ Jesus.
Yes, I am.
God's workmanship.
And I am a new creation.
The first creation pleased him.
We know this one.
He is the lover.
He created us in love.
He has built love into us.
He has taken the things of Jesus.
Things of love.
Built them into us.
And as we act on the word,
it becomes built into us
and forms a part of us.
He did not make us to be slaves of circumstances
or of demons.
He did not create us
in Christ Jesus
to be servants of the world
or influenced by the world.
But he created us in his Son
that we might reign with him
now as victors
in the realm of life.
In
He planned that we should walk in love.
He planned that we should walk in love.
And act as his stead.
And act as his stead.
He actually takes his place.
Takes his place.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
By the time I reached my office, my eyes were still dripping. My emotions were all tangled up. But a few weeks later, by the power of God's grace, my dad made a definition to me. He said, "I want a Bible. I want to understand what you've learned." So I went and shopped and found him a French Bible. My dad had a third grade education. Came home with it, and he began to read it. He read it from cover to cover. In several weeks, he said, "I never thought God loved me, but I'm leaving for Canada." He said, "I'm going to see my family, and I'm going to tell them about Jesus." So my dad became a French evangelist in Quebec. He was gone for several weeks. Mom was in such a place. We had prayed for Mom to receive the Holy Ghost. And she was so full of fear that when we prayed for her, it didn't manifest until 3 a.m. the following morning. My dad woke up. She was praying in tongues. So she was sound asleep praying in the Spirit. Is there anything too big for God?
No.
Is it hopeless in your house? But it feels sometimes that it is. My heart says to each of you today, God has begun the new age. You're living in it. You're living in the realm of the Spirit, and the love flow from you can change your neighborhood, can change your families. He's not done with us. He's not done with any of us. So, Father, I thank you now for this word to go in and to bring fruit in the days ahead. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to bring back this word so that they can see the magnitude of your love manifesting through them to touch those that you've prepared for them in this week. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.